It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will. But then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
So I didn't mention last week because I was saving it for this week, but I'm a cyborg now!
You are?
Yeah!
That's right, you were looking forward to that.
Yep, I now have a full-time glucose monitor thing. It sticks in subcutaneously, and it sticks there for 10 days. And then you replace it with another one, and then my phone has all the information. It has been a trip.
Really? Tell me about it.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, I didn't. It is crazy stressful to start with, because there are three components to this that I didn't realize. One is it's not as accurate in that because of the way it's reading things, it's measuring blood glucose, but not in the same way. It's not measuring it in your bloodstream because it's not hooked up to your bloodstream or testing your actual blood. And so there is a delay. And second of all, the number is different. It means the same thing, but it's not the same. And I was really kind of worried about that because I still check my finger every once in a while. And I'd be getting different numbers. And so I was looking into that or whatever. And there's sort of like a range. They're like, if this is what the finger prick says, this is the range that the other thing will say. But what helped is a couple days after I got it, we went out to dinner with a friend and I was telling her about it. Turned out she's had it for years.
Oh.
And she said, for me, it is more about seeing the trends that happen based on what I do and what I eat. And she's like, certain foods that I didn't think had a big impact on my blood sugar really do, and other foods that I really thought did don't. And so it was good to sort of learn that kind of stuff. And I'm getting there now. But the third really annoying part of this is your blood sugar does crazy shit all the time, sometimes seeming to have nothing to do with eating.
Huh.
For example, this guy, and apparently also my sister, she's determined, somewhere between 3 and 5 a.m. while I'm asleep, my blood sugar just starts going up.
Really?
And consistent, like not one night it happened. Like, it happens, or just things where I'm like, okay, I haven't eaten anything for hours, and now my blood sugar is going up. Or I ate something a little while ago and it went up and now it's dropping again. Or earlier today where I ate something that shot my blood sugar up to quite unhealthy levels and then dropped it and like dropped it. So the thing tells you the number and it also tells you like, is it rising or is it holding steady or is it dropping? I found out there's a extra thing for it's dropping really fast, which I hadn't even seen before because of this. And so it's been stressful. It's starting to not get stressful because I am starting to look at it in terms of trends. And it's more not about specific number, but what makes it goes up, what makes it goes down, what makes it steady, that kind of thing. Right. And I'm still checking finger pricks sometimes. And you can record that in there if you want, just to record that. But you can also use it for calibration, so it'll hopefully get a little closer.
Oh, sure, sure.
So it's pretty cool. I don't think about it. Like, the only times I think about it in the shower, I'm like, oh, wait, be careful scrubbing around there. And when I'm drying off, I'm like, pat it dry because I don't want to get rid of it, make it fall off. But otherwise, I don't think about it. And so that's good. I mean, I don't think about the physical presence is what I mean. Like, it's not bothersome or anything. I am starting to see patterns as of, I've now had it for 5 or 6 days on. I've had it since last Saturday, I guess.
Oh.
And I'm seeing patterns. And the main pattern I'm seeing? Carbs. You know, the basic shit they teach you as soon as you get a diagnosis for diabetes.
Yeah.
Is because that was the thing, is I had a meal. We went out for pho. And pho to me is a very low glycemic issue because it's mostly soup and whatever, you know. And I also notice I'll eat it and be really full and then be really, like, I often with soup, if I eat it until I'm full, I get hungry again soon after or whatever. But so I have, and it made my blood sugar go nuts, which at the time I didn't really have anything compared to. I'd had it for like a day or so, but I think it's because it's got a shit ton of rice noodles in it. But then another night I made us taco potatoes, a baked potato, and then just, you know, taco fixings on it. Hardly any. I mean, it went up, but not nearly the same. And I'm like, I ate a whole fucking potato. But it's like, yeah, that's not, I mean, that's carbs, but it's not huge carbs. And it's kind of the only carbs in the entire thing you just ate. So I'm starting to put, and like the other day I ate some crazy things, but the one that made my blood sugar really go up was the morning where I had 2 pieces of toast with some lemon curd on them, which is a lot of carbs. And the other things I ate that day were bigger and more calories, but not as many carbs. And my blood sugar didn't go as good. Today, I had 2 bagels. And my blood sugar hit new heights. I haven't seen before. Like,
wow.
Because, and one of our listeners is going to love this and feel very vindicated. There's just so much carbs in a bagel. And it's simple. Like, there's no fiber or anything in it. It's just straight carbs. And it's like 4 servings of carbs per bagel, and I had 2 of them, and so unsurprisingly went crazy. But yeah, you know me, I am a data slut, so in the grand scheme this is awesome, and the fact that it's there and I can look at it makes me much more self-aware of what I'm doing. And that's good. So much of a key to, like, it, even not just diabetes, just in general of like eating responsibly, is just about paying attention.
Yeah.
Which is why, like, and I used to do it. They've done studies, and if you write down everything you eat, even if you don't have any rules about what you eat, you just write it all down, you will eat more reasonable amounts of food because you remember what you ate and you can see it and that kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's why therapists recommend journaling so often, because like you just said, it doesn't matter if there's a rule or anything. If you're writing things down, it makes you more aware of it, more reflective on it. Yeah, it makes you pay attention. Sometimes that's all you need.
I was journaling my mood for a while, and part of the reason I stopped was I got on new meds that sort of stabilized it, and I didn't feel the need as much. But part of the reason I stopped, because I have Tony brain, I got so in my head about it. So, like, my day would progress, and I'd be like, oh, that happened. What's because I started thinking of it in terms of a 1 to 5 scale. And I would write, like, today was a 4 or whatever. And I would say what I thought made that happen. If I could figure it out, I would journal about that. But it got to where I'd be like, oh, this just happened and I didn't like it. So today was like, I'd keep a running thing in my head of up now today's. And I'm like, that's not. First of all, it's me pushing it on, like, you know, I'm trying to make my mood happen in a certain way. Like, I don't think it's an accurate thing, but also it just gave me extra anxiety worrying about accurately grasping my mood. So I stopped.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, and this one, thing I hate, and it's just me, is, oh my God, what is happening here? Something stopped running? I don't know. There it is. All right. So see my phone? It's backwards, but it has the time and the date. And then below that, you see 2 little sort of owl eyes.
Yeah. It doesn't look backwards to me. It says 11:30.
Oh, sweet. I mirrored it. Okay. It says, and then you see below there's 2 little owl eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Those are 2 notifications from the app.
Oh.
One is a notification telling me what my blood sugar currently is. And the other one is a notification telling me that the app is running.
No. Oh. Okay.
And I hate them because I can't, I don't keep notifications on my app. I'm in a very serious, important meeting with somebody and really focused. If my phone has a notification, I gotta clear it off. I don't have to read the text or the email, but I have to like clear it off. It's just a thing of mine. I can't just leave it. It's, I'm also one of those who I don't leave unread emails. I think that's insane. And now I just have a new life where that's just always there. And I can stop it from running all the time and turn off notifications. When I, the reason it's like that, the reason it's always on is so that it can warn me if it gets too high, too low. And it has sometimes. I can turn that shit off. But when I do, if I go into the app freaks the fuck out. Like, oh my God, you turned off notifications. You're going to die. So for now, I'm leaving it on and I'm getting used to it because now I'm like, that's just, those aren't notifications. Those are just things on my phone and it'll be fine. But it annoyed the shit out of me at first. And I'm like, why do you have one that just says you're always right? I have other things on my phone that are always running or that will always run if I don't go into a thing and turn them off. None of them gave me a per, and I can dismiss those notifications. They instantly come back. None of these other apps gave me a notification that's like, just so you know, especially when there's already a constant notification from that app, which is a pretty good sign that the app is running. So I'm like, fuck you. But that's what it is. But yeah, so that's how I live now as a cyborg. And yeah, it's been very stressful at the beginning learning a new thing or whatever, but I think it's awesome in general. And I think it's very good for me. And technically I'm journaling my food again because it has a thing. You just put in, you can add in, like I did an insulin thing. I don't do insulin, but if you did, you could do when you did that or when you did a finger stick and what it was, or when you had a meal. Mm-hmm. So that then you can look later and be like, oh, I had this at this point and let's look at the graph. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing that because it's real easy and I'm not getting, like, it has a spot for how many carbs. I'm like, I'm not, I can't be calculating that, but I say what I ate. So now I can look back and see what I ate. And my phone is always around. So I'm all the time, I'm just like, I wonder what it is now. And I look and it tells me it's 175 and holding. So that kind of thing. So a lot of these things you get over, but I mean, my phone's my phone. It's always around. So this could be really good. We'll have to see. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world that's more machine than man now.
Twisted and evil.
I mean, I was that before. But,
oh, right.
Somehow, Tony has returned. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 716. We didn't announce the number for last time, but that's okay because it's Thanksgiving.
Hopefully you can count. And this is our second episode in a row because we don't want to see each other the day after Thanksgiving because we're going to be full of real and fake turkey. That if we recorded that podcast, it would just be both of us being like,
more pie.
So yeah, so we're doing it now, which means I'm not going to explain how the podcast works. If you don't know, go back with your family and listen to the previous episode. Yeah. Did I have another thing?
I don't know. Were you going to save something? We're going to do the email for sure.
Yeah, that was, I mean, I was saving the thing about my new device.
Oh, that's the thing you were saving. Okay. What else? What else? What else?
I don't have a lot outside of things. Oh, no. I guess I do have one. I have discovered the ultimate cheat code to a happy life. I always suspected, but now it's really locked in.
Okay. What is it?
Don't have kids. Just fucking don't have kids. Because this week, which will be 2 weeks ago for our listeners, but the week before Thanksgiving week, our dear friends and neighbors, the adult ones, left the country. due to money laundering scandal. No. They went on sort of a belated anniversary trip or whatever to a little island off the coast of Honduras called Rotan, that they have a friend who has a house there, and he's always talking it up and everything. So they're like, it's really fascinating. They're literally halfway around the world, but it's north south, so they're still in the same time zone. And even they, like, at one point he texts, he's like, I am half the globe away and I can still monitor and control my doorbell cam from here. That's fascinating. But Trish and I are in charge of the teenagers and a dog. And teenagers, oh my God. It's just the big, well, there's a couple of ones. Walking the dog is bad. The kids should be walking the dog. The kids are not walking the dog. We're walking the dog. It's hard to walk the dog. The dog likes to pull. He wants to go faster than you do. It's not so much the walking. I think it's the pulling. Like, I finally didn't walk the dog yesterday, and suddenly my back felt so much better than the other days. Because I think it's just the tugging or whatever is like, in my head, I imagine it's very similar to if you use kettlebells with poor form. Like, it's just straining muscles it's not supposed to. Because every day I'd be like, oh, God, I hurt so bad. And all I did was just have – it's not like it's a long walk. But it was just killing me. And also it's been fucking cold. We went in the snow one day. It's crazy. Because it snowed. It snowed a little bit. But it snowed a little bit all day. And so that was a thing. And it's been very windy and cold. But the other thing is the teenagers don't know how to wake up, even with an alarm. So I have been waking up early, going over there and banging on their doors.
Wow.
To their rooms to wake them up. And they love this. They appreciate this. It's very helpful. Such that I did it yesterday and I'm like, I'm done, because it's finals week. And they, after Thursday, they had Friday off. The way the finals work, they just didn't have Friday and they had no things going on or whatever. I'm like, I don't have to wake them up now. It's great. And then I got a text from the oldest, who had an online appointment for a thing this morning. She's like, can you come wake me up? So even then, I still had to wake up early today to go do that. And I'm scared because she has a job and I know she has a shift mark, because her parents were good enough to make a whole spreadsheet about what their schedule is. So I know their schedule better than they know their schedule. And I'm really worried she's going to want me to wake her up for that too. And I will offer, but I'm so tired of waking up early for these kids just to go bang, 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 bang. Also had a fun one. Went over to walk the dog one day while they're all at school. And I opened the door and I'm like, Kion, where are you? And from out of the back walks somebody, specifically the oldest's boyfriend.
Oh.
And I'm like, what the hell are you doing here? And then behind him comes the oldest. And I'm like, what the hell are you doing here? And they're like, what the hell are you doing here? I was like, I'm here to walk the dog. Shouldn't you be in school? And apparently, because of the final schedule, they had a 2-hour lunch. So they just decided to come home. But I'm just like, oh, God, cannot cope with these children. And one of them was really excited that he'd be able to play video games for 8 hours straight because of the early release. And I'm just like, or you could fucking walk your dog, or, you know, whatever. So, yeah, I'm super excited that their parents are coming home too. It is what it is. I love them, but it's so good not to have kids. Or dogs, I guess. I love dogs too, but you have to walk them. I don't got to walk my cat. Never got to walk my cat. Especially now. It's now cold enough that I have put away the fans and put down the heating pad rug that's right in front of me here, which means that's where the cats live from now on. And it's funny. I did it yesterday, and they kind of didn't notice. And then this morning, Addy definitely noticed, because I came to look and he's just like zonked out, just real blinkums at me. And I'm like, yeah, I figured you'd find it. I figured you'd find it. So, there, and as it gets colder, it'll be even more of that. Taking vitamin D.
You are?
I am.
Yeah, I am too. My physician a couple of years ago said I needed it. Tested my blood and everything, said I needed more.
See, tested my blood. I don't need it. Here's what happened. Trish needed it, and so we got a supplement, and she takes it daily. Mm-hmm. It's actually a pretty big one. Standard supplement is like 1,000 units or 2,000. This is 5,000. Apparently, they make a pill now that's 50,000. And in general, I am wary of overdoing vitamins.
Okay.
And in general, that's not an issue because for most vitamins, if you have too much in your system, you urinate it out. Awesome. But you can't overdo it on some of them. And also, there's such a church of vitamins. I mean, I had an actual legit doctor in a medical clinic when I had, I don't even remember what I had, but I had something and I went into prompt care. And the doctor said, as the things I was doing in the meds or whatever, she's like, also take a bunch of vitamin C to help boost your immune system. And I'm just like, there's no way that I know that people think that, but you're a doctor, and I am pretty confident there is no clinical evidence that that's a thing. So how very dare you?
How very dare you?
But so what happens is I'm talking with one of my therapists. I love to say that nowadays because I technically have two. The medication one. I met him a few weeks ago, and I was like, yeah. I'm doing pretty good, and I also don't want to fuck with anything right now because we're getting into a tumultuous time for me. Because first of all, it's going to be the holidays, and I'm always weird about the holidays. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to get into the winter when a lot of my seasonal affective disorder kicks in and all that kind of thing. And so if we change the meds now, we'll have no idea how much was the meds, we won't know what's going on. And honestly, I'm on a whole new set, so this is a test run right now to see what's happening. And so we are going to meet again before it gets into what's usually my really bad time. But he says, how's your vitamin D levels? And I was like, ooh, I don't know. And I am very much an indoor kid. So, and he was like, because I also sleep a lot. I sleep a full night, but I nap almost every day. And some of that is because I really like napping. Some of that is because I really get tired. And some of that is because it is a mechanism I use to dissociate from a mental health issue that I'm having trouble processing. It's an easy way. Like, if there's something that's, like, bugging me, if I just lay down for an hour or two, when I wake up, often the anxiety is gone and I can just sort of deal with it. But anyway, so he said, how's your vitamin D level? And I was like, I don't know. It's like, well, let's get it tested. It's like, you could take a supplement, but this way, if we test it, we can know if it was a thing, but either way you could do it. And I said, sure. So then I went to my doctor because I happened to be seeing my doctor anyway. I'm like, can I get my vitamin D tested? Here's the backstory or whatever. He's like, yeah, sure. You could take it anyway, but we can test it. That's fine. He's like, I'll be totally honest. Other than some things involving muscle tone, there's pretty much no clinical evidence for any other thing that vitamin D does. He's like, I know there's a lot of things that people think it does and that maybe it does, but in terms of the things that we've actually sort of verified it does, none of those are there. So I went, well, I tried to get the lab that day, but it was so busy that I went. So I went earlier this week. Lab came back. I am on the low end of the totally normal range, so not an issue. But I actually, as soon as the blood was drawn, I started taking a supplement because I'm like, well, by now, it doesn't matter anymore. They've got my blood. It'll be what it'll be, and I was going to start anyway. So now I'm doing that. So we will see. I'm taking 5,000 a day in the mornings, and we will see what that does. Or maybe we won't. Who knows? Maybe I won't be able to tell either way. But this winter in general will be very interesting. I'm in a very different place in terms of my therapy journey. I'm in a very different place medically speaking. Mm-hmm. And a few other things sort of repositioned within my mental paradigm. So it'll be very interesting to see how this winter goes, because I really don't like the idea that I just have 6 months of the year where I don't feel very good and then 6 months where I feel better.
Yeah.
Like, that can't be the thing. So
right,
we'll see what happens. So that'll be interesting. All right, that's a cut for edit. You ever hear a song from a group you've never heard before and you're like, this is awesome, I'm gonna go find more of their stuff, and that's when you discover that that's the only song that sounds like that, and
all
you
the
don't
time.
Like the others?
Yep,
well, and here's what I hate, because odds are very high if you just hear one song, it's their most popular.
Sure.
And that's when I'll run into this sometimes where I'm like, oh, or even an album. I really like this album and I don't like any of their other. I had this with Sigur Rós. Sigur Rós is good and I like some Sigur Rós stuff, but Sigur Rós is very, well, very Icelandic post-punk. Which is to say, it's some weird shit. It's some sound poem kind of things going on that you can't dance to. and it's just like, it'd be fine in the background, but it's not. But then their lead singer did his own album, and I really loved that. Mm. And he also did the main theme from the first How to Train Your Dragon movie, which, by the way, they're making a live action How to Train Your Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Bonkers. Anyway, weirdly, I think Gerard Butler's playing the same part he played in the animated one, which is funny. I really want Craig Ferguson to play the same part he did, but I'm betting that's not going to happen. That would be hilarious to see him as like the one-armed, eye-patched Viking. But anyway, and I really loved his solo album, Jonesy's solo album from Sigur Rós. And I look it up, and all the reviews or stuff is like, this is where Jonesy really went into his sort of more pop music mainstream. And I'm like, oh God. I'm just a basic bitch, aren't I? Like, the song I like is the one that everybody liked, and the reason they liked it is because it's a very mainstream pop kind of song.
Yeah.
Well, and I just had that with a group. Well, you saw the video I sent you with the puppets.
Yeah.
Love that song. Been playing that song over and over and over. In fact, keep getting that song stuck in my head. I have to play a different song. Love that song. And as soon as I had it, I got that. Sorry, I said I wasn't going to talk about this on the podcast to myself. You guys weren't there. But I'm going to talk about it. There's a group called Me Rex, which there's so many ways you could type that. So I'm just going to tell you. It's M-E space R-E-X. It is a three-person indie, British indie band. The vocal styles are... I don't know what to call it, but it's a style I associate with a lot of more indie British bands. But it's basically the way the Counting Crows guys sings. Like, it's competent singing, but it breaks intentionally in places, and it has melody lines that often have big jumps in scale suddenly. And it's a style I like. And they have a song called Giant, 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 and I love it. I love it so much. And it's also an amazing music video that I sent to William mostly because of that, because it has puppets and it's cool. But I love that song. And I learned about this because they did the theme song for a podcast that I recently listened to. And in the podcast, they say who it is. And so when they said that, I looked it up. And the first thing that came up was Giant, 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 because that's probably their most popular song. And so I love that. So get on my Apple Tunes. Download both of their albums. They only have two albums so far. Download both of them. Recently started listening to them. Yeah, I'm not into it as much. Some of it is, like, at first I was, well, the first album is weird. First album is that thing I hate where, I know it's not a concept album, but it's, we broke up the tracks sort of arbitrarily, and it's really just a track. Like, I'll put it this way. The album is 31 minutes long. There are over 50 tracks in it.
Oh, wow.
It's one of those.
One of those.
Like, and if you weren't looking at a display, I promise you, at least half the time, you couldn't tell when the track changed. Because, like, it'll be, like, 16 bars, and then another thing, and that's a whole track. And I hate this for a variety of reasons that I won't get. I hate that concept. I kind of hated it back when we used CDs. Now that we are in the world of digital music, I it makes me angry. You don't need to do this. It is not helpful. If you want it to be heard altogether, make it a single song. But anyway, so I'm having trouble with that one. And then the second album somewhat has more self-contained songs, and they're all over. I would encourage people to check it out for yourself. If nothing else, the song Giant, Giant, Giant is awesome. And the song Infinity Worm is not bad either. And what they're doing is very cool, but it's not what I thought it was, and I'm not as into it. And that's a bummer for me. But I don't know why I brought that up, especially since I said I wasn't going to. But give us an email.
Oh, okay, sure. Yeah, that's pretty much my experience is always what you're saying, where you hear a song and you just don't like the rest of the stuff they do. And I feel the same way as you, is like, oh, I just have very bland taste in music
because
I
only like the
most popular thing, right? There's a few exceptions, like the first, there was I did like a Dave Matthews Band song, got that album Under the Table and Dreaming, and I liked pretty much the whole thing.
Yes. Actually, Dave Matthews is a great example, because I was very into them when, you know, everybody was very into them, like in the early 90s. But no, back in the day, back pre-30 or so, I actually would frequently talk about how I would buy an album, and the single off of the album that was the reason I had bought it was my least favorite track.
Oh, yeah, that's happened too.
And that happened almost all the time.
Well, for me, rarely, but yes, that has happened. Yes.
To me, that was a norm, and that was a thing. If I knew, like, and with every, it was all popular ones again, but like, aha, the album that has Take On Me on it, that album, Take On Me is my least favorite song on that album. Well, maybe not my least, but it's down there. Mm-hmm. Depeche Mode, The Violator album. Nowadays, I enjoy Personal Jesus and Enjoy the Silence just fine, but when I played, I was like, oh, I like these other songs so much better. Mm-hmm. Under the Table and Dreaming, same thing. Satellite, great song, but the shit on there that they didn't release that way, and actually several Matthews Band albums, Crash. The song Crash is good, but most of the other songs on there I like better. Was just the norm for me. And nowadays it's flipped, and I don't know what that means, but it makes me feel bad about myself.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Makes you feel bad about yourself. Okay, I'll read the email so you can stop feeling bad about yourself.
Stop doing this.
Beth!
Hello, Beth. Question. I'm talking to you. Actually, I don't know if this is true. I was going to say, I'm talking to you from your Alexa while you're putting your kid to bed, but your kids are probably like in college or some shit now. So I don't know how you're listening to this. I assume you are, or it would be hilarious if you don't listen anymore, but just randomly send in an email. But I know that's not true. So anyway, yes. Thank you, Beth. You are my favorite listener right now on account of you actually.
I actually screwed up. She didn't want me to say her name.
Really?
Yes.
Fuck. Sorry, bud.
What should I do? Dang it. I mean, we could still read it like another time and nobody would know if this was the one that she wrote, but. This is the first time I've run into this, and all the time you've had me read these, this is the first time.
I have run into this, but I've never fucked it up. Like,
no, I know. Well, that's because I've never run into it before. Shoot. I mean, and she definitely does not want this read with her name on it. That's what she says very specifically at the bottom.
I don't know how to edit.
Dang it.
So
I'm an idiot. I've never looked at the signature before. This is the first time it ever even would have mattered, and I should have done it.
Well, no. And also, I mean, we're not going to do it, but it's fine. But you don't put it at the bottom. We don't read them beforehand. The hat magically forwards them to us. Or, to put it another way, we leave them literally as unread and we don't look at them beforehand. But we don't know.
Shoot, shoot, shoot. I'm so sorry. This is... Dang it, dang it, dang it.
All right.
So, all right. Well, that's a lesson learned. I'll have to look.
We will mark it as unread and we'll do something. I don't know. Okay. Beth, get a hold of us and tell us what you want us to do, but if we can approach this a different way or something. But yeah. Podcast over, William ruined everything.
I mean technically,
I don't mean this episode. I mean we're done with the podcast now.
Technically, somewhere down the road we could, and you know, nobody would necessarily know.
I mean, it's probably a terrible event, so whatever.
So sorry. What is wrong with me? I'm glad I caught it though before I read it, for gosh sake.
Well, I mean I get it again because she said it at the bottom. I absolutely understand why it happened.
Well, I'm just relieved I didn't read it.
As much as I love shitting on you for anything. This is, yeah, no, it's fine. I could easily have made the same mistake. I wouldn't have, but I could have.
Anyway, we didn't read it, thank God. So we'll figure it out.
You're safe. Because she really lays into some local celebrities, let me tell you.
Another thing is, we could bring it up conversationally some other time and no one would ever know that we got it.
Yes. I think the best option at present is Beth should contact us and tell us what she wants us to do.
I'm sorry, Beth.
Otherwise, we will have to see. But if you would like to help us in maintaining Beth's anonymity, send right in emails.
Yes.
No. Not you. Them. Send in a bunch of emails. Because we hardly ever get emails. And if we're just like next week, oh, we had one email. It's anonymous. Like, it's going to be too obvious. So send in some other emails. Maybe some of yours say this should be anonymous if you want. Or maybe also, I don't know. Would help us distract. Help us put up a smoke screen of emails so that maybe we can sneak hers back in or whatever. I'll clearly have to look at this later and see if I can fix this absolute clusterfuck that William has created for us.
Oh my God.
Really, the biggest gaffe in modern journalism right here.
But I didn't read it. Thank God for that.
You didn't. I mean, fuck. If you had read it,
then we'd be in real
this probably just would not see the light of day.
I know.
We would probably start over. So that's a good one, because I do not want to spend that much time with you. I've already spent a lot of time with you today. And we still got time to kill. All right. So you gonna go see Wicked, you think?
So the reviews are out and they're very positive. Which I'm not surprised. I mean, it's a popular it's a popular musical. I thought it was well cast. Of course they could have screwed it up, but it doesn't sound like they did. So
I mean, people have issue with Ariana Grande, and I get that, and I originally felt that way, but then she hosted SNL and I was like, oh my God, she's older and actually more mature and actually pretty capable as actor.
Oh, okay.
I'm impressed. So people who are like, Ariana Grande is a horrible choice, I'm like, when's the last time you actually paid attention to Ariana Grande? Because you might be wrong.
Well, okay, so I've never really known very much about her. So all I know about her is recent stuff that I looked up. It's like, well, you know.
Oh, she was just a young pop star. That's her
whole
deal. Yeah.
Sure.
She's a Hannah Montana. She's a Britney, whatever.
Well, started
real young and did a lot of dumb shit when she was young.
Okay. Well, when the recent stuff
and dumb marketing shit, like a giant version of her showed up in Fortnite one time and shit. Like,
oh, well, yeah.
It's very similar as if back in the day somebody was like, we're gonna do Wicked, and young Britney Spears is gonna play Glinda.
Oh.
Although, to be fair, that's not even accurate, because if Britney Spears, Ariana Grande still looks like she's a teenager, but she is not. She is much older now. She just hasn't really aged.
Yeah, I mostly saw her in interactions with her co-star, and it's like, I see the chemistry there. I could see her in the role, you know.
Yeah.
So that's all I had.
But
she's
not an actor, at least historically.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But like I said, I watched her on SNL, and she did better than a lot of actual actors do on that show.
Okay. All right. Well, so I didn't have any reason. Well, like the stuff I'd seen, and the person playing Elphaba, I'd seen her in other things. She's obviously very talented and wonderful.
Yeah.
I didn't know any very much about Ariana Grande, and I just saw the stuff I saw, and I thought, oh, I can see her in this role. So I thought it all looked like it could be really good. So I don't know. You know, we just don't go to the theater very often, but we do like to, so maybe we will. It sounds like a good time. Are you going to go?
If the family wants to go over Thanksgiving, which will now have been last week, sure. I mean, it's fine, but otherwise, definitely not. A couple of reasons. One, and warning for everybody who might see it, it's half a movie. They're breaking it into two pieces.
Oh. Hmm.
They're pulling that bullshit.
Mm.
So fuck right off. But the big one, and this is an important thing to note, and this is definitely my main reason. Literally every single movie based on a musical sucks. Throughout the history of time, every single movie based on a musical sucks.
I mean, I don't like musicals, so that's hard for me to judge.
I love musicals. And I have seen most of the musicals in the modern day that have movies based on them, and those movies suck. Into the Woods is the example, because you can actually see the Broadway production of Into the Woods online. I think Netflix had it for a while. Bernadette Peters, Chip Zion, Joanna Gleason, great people, and it's amazing. And that movie was such, don't get me wrong, if your options are see the Into the Woods movie or never see Into the Woods, see the movie. But if your option is see the musical or see the movie musical every time. Same thing with Les Mis. I know some people really like the Les Mis movie, but I saw the actual production of Les Mis with the touring company, and that movie sucks. And that movie was done by Tom Hooper. You know what else Tom Hooper has done? The Crime Against Humanity that is the Cats movie.
Oh.
And that movie is so bad that Trish was like, I've been thinking we should see it again, maybe high, because it can't have been as bad as I remember. I'm like, it is, and it's bad in a way that's not even fun. Nobody should ever see that movie. We should never have seen it. It's a crime against humanity. And I didn't see the original Cats musical. But I can't believe it was as bad as that. I have it on good authority. There is one exception that's a little Shop of Horrors movie, and I have not seen it. People will put up Grease. I think Grease is a shitty musical anyway, and I also think it's a shitty movie, so maybe that doesn't count. But of all the musicals that I like, the movies always suck. It's not the same medium. It's the same thing when you're like, here's a movie based on a short story, and then you're like, oh, that should have stayed a short story. Or,
yeah.
Here's a play based on a book. Oh, that should have stayed a book. Like,
right.
A good art form frequently is tied to the nature of its form.
Correct. Yeah. We say that all the time.
Yes. And musicals are very in that way, because the language of cinema is very different than the language of theater.
Yes.
Very different. And yes. I have seen many versions of Into the Woods, and they were all drastically different from each other, and some of them were done by some poor actors, in some cases middle schoolers, and they were all better than the movie, in my opinion. And the movie is chock full of actors I love and James Corden, but I didn't like it. And Les Mis, same deal. I love Les Mis. And it's full of people that I really like, including ones that can absolutely sing their asses off. Nope. Nope. Different creation. Not the same thing. Not as good. And so I saw Wicked in Chicago with Kristen Chenoweth and not I keep wanting to say Adele Dazeem. Thank you, John Travolta. Idina Menzel. I wasn't with her. It was with Anna Gasteyer at the time, who I love. So I'm actually really glad I saw it there. And it was wonderful. I read the book. By the way, if you've read the Wicked book and you didn't like it, you can still watch the musical. They are such different animals. It's right. Not even close. And I liked the book, but I 100% understand why somebody would hate that book. It is a grungy, weird-ass book. But I love the book, and I love the musical for obviously different reasons. It's not going to hit right. It's not going to work. I mean, maybe it's great for people who can't experience it another way. And, I mean, Wicked is one of those that I played that soundtrack into the ground. I loved that soundtrack. But I'm like, it's not going to hit right. It's especially not going to hit right because it's only going to be half the story. So, but mostly, yeah, every musical movie sucks. And I'm sorry, I don't know what part of physics makes that happen, but it just is there.
I saw the production of Cats on the stage, and I hated it. So I can't even imagine that the film would.
I don't think it's my kind of thing, but also, it didn't have a story on the play. I mean, it sort of did, but it was mostly just a trappings, an excuse for people to perform songs and dances.
Well, yeah, but I think the point of this story is, ooh, let's look into the secret lives of cats. And
well, because almost all of the libretto is literally taken from T.S. Eliot, a series of T.S. Eliot poems about cats.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I would like it, but like, that's not even a play.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
That is an exhibition of singing and dancing with the barest thread of
stitching
a context
it together
to put it in.
Yeah, yeah.
And the movie is a movie with a plot and shit. And it sucks. And that's setting aside the creepiness of both the visual effects and the direction, the people moving like cats.
I don't think you would have liked the stage production any better, honestly.
I don't know that I would have liked Cats, but I can almost promise you I would have told you it was better than the movie.
Why did Cats last so long on Broadway? That's what I could never figure out, because I didn't think it was very good.
I'm not sure. I think I talked about this earlier, where Patti LuPone says there should be term limits on Broadway because some of these things just run too long. And she particularly has a thing about Andrew Lloyd Webber. And in fact, the two she held up were Phantom of the Opera and Cats. And I loved Phantom of the Opera. Again, I ran that one into the ground, and I went and saw that one, and I loved it. I was when that became a thing, I was at the age for, I was a young teen when that became popular, and that's who young teens and single 20-something white ladies are who that play was for, and maybe single 40-something white ladies, but whatever. And I loved it. I don't know. It's very City of Angels. Like, I loved it, and the music is solid, but the story is a little weird now when you look at it. It's a little creepy.
Well, the thing about Phantom of the Opera, the original novel, is, once again, a very interesting story with a lot of interesting things about this main character. The romance part of it is a tiny, 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 tiny piece of it that has been blown up because, whenever someone decided to make a film out of it or a play out of it, they emphasized that. They de-emphasized
the
interesting.
It's the shortcut to melodrama. And
yeah,
melodrama,
yeah, yeah. There's this great back story for the main character that takes up a lot of the story. And by the way, I haven't read it. I want to read it. Yeah. But I know a lot about it, and it's
the original film, yeah. The old black and white film. I haven't seen that one, but I know a lot about that one as well. And,
yeah,
and
I love it.
Different vibe. And that one did a lot. Like, that was a real pioneering film in a whole bunch of both technical and narrative ways.
Yep.
And it's a silent film, I think.
Yes, silent film. Wonderful.
And isn't it
very
like
well done.
Early Karloff or something? But
no, it's Lon Chaney.
Chaney, there we go.
Yeah, just spectacular film. But it, you know, even that one I think was more nuanced than the later things, which like I'm saying, doubles down on the whole romance thing, which is super creepy and doesn't really make for a four-dimensional character in the Phantom. Or a two-dimensional it doesn't make a three-dimensional character out of the ingenue either. Like it's just it's not very good.
Musicals are a different world.
Right.
They are a certain type of heightened reality. And films are also a certain type of heightened reality.
Correct.
Often.
I think that's correct.
But it's different. And so like Les Mis is a great example. The story of Les Mis is kind of ridiculous. And none of the people make sense. But it's a sort of a thrilling adventure tale with some incredible music in there. And the movie is absolutely trying the same thing, but just the very nature of how you film people and how you shoot things versus when you're looking at a stage gives it this undercurrent of sort of nastiness. And the story is nasty. The story is about a doomed from the start violent revolution by students in France in the 1700s or whatever. Like it's dirt and blood and awfulness and the lyrics of the thing, even that, but it's a musical, which means you don't feel that, with the possible exception of Sweeney Todd. Sweeney Todd! Another example. Kick-ass musical. Fucking hate that movie. It doesn't work. You make movies different, and it's not the same thing.
In a movie, the story is told in the editing, is put together in the editing bay, with shots and everything stitched together. And just
basic shit. You don't have close-ups in a theatrical production.
No, that's correct.
That one thing changes the whole vibe.
Oh, yeah.
Instantly.
Multiple camera angles and all that stuff. It changes how the story is told and how you tell this. When you change how the story is told, you change the story. It's just a fact. And even if it's a musical and you have musical numbers that sound like the same thing that is being produced on the stage, the whole context is different. So one does have to ask oneself, can this thing that was made for this survive the transition, the adaptation into this? And many times it doesn't. Many times it doesn't. And you're saying it never does if it's a stage
Les
production.
Mis, Fantine dies. Spoiler alerts for the start of Les Mis. Fantine dies after having a harrowing time trying to make ends meet for her poor daughter and suffering on the street and being forced to cut off all her hair and whore herself out and eventually just dying in the mud. And it's a Broadway musical. So it is incredibly tragic in a very mythic way. Les Mis, the film, Anne Hathaway looks like she has been beaten, forcibly raped many times and left to sit in the mud, and you feel it. And I spend the whole movie going, oh my God, this is so fucked up and traumatizing. Why are they singing? Like,
Right. Yeah.
You think this is what Beth's email was about? That'd be a weird coincidence.
What was about?
Beth's email.
Oh,
I know you're trying to pretend that didn't happen, but it's been recorded. We're all going to know. I'm just saying it would be funny if this was a thing. And she didn't want her name attached because hot takes on musical films. The Grease movie is probably as good as the musical. I have seen both. I just think they both suck, so it's really hard for me to tell. I've never seen a musical production of Little Shop of Horrors. Little Shop of Horrors started life not as a musical.
Okay,
there's
so let's
movie from 1960, actually starring very young Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson, yeah, is the guy that once likes going to the dentist. So Disney films are original movie musicals, and they've made some of them into Broadway musicals that are amazing, super successful. Have you ever seen a musical based on a Disney movie and felt like, oh yeah, this works? So the going the other way works, even like if it starts on the stage and it goes to a movie, it doesn't work. But if it starts in a movie and goes to the stage, it does work.
I've seen a few of these.
Okay.
All performed by children.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, still.
It's basically all the things my niece has been involved in. So I have seen some of them. But that also means they have all not just been the musical version. They've been the junior version.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Which frequently sort of adjusts the story. It can be done. Here's the problem. I don't like a lot of those anymore. The classic Disney, I mostly don't like Disney films at this point, including ones I used to like. I now look at them and I'm like, oh my God. So it's very hard for me to compare. I think it can be done, but I don't know. There is, and I'm really pulling this one out of my ass, but there is sort of a thing of when people adapt something to the stage, they actively think about, okay, what are the stage isms that come into play for this as opposed to its original source?
Mm-hmm.
People don't seem to do that so much with me. I mean, I'm sure on a certain level, like, oh, we can do these cool shots or whatever. But there is an assumption within our society that even though certain things don't make it in certain versions of media, sort of everything can be a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's dumb and wrong.
Yeah.
And it's also why every adaptation of anything Alan Moore ever wrote doesn't really work.
I think that's the problem with
kept
Steven.
Telling everybody stop turning them into movies, not just because you suck at doing it, but because they are quote unquote unfilmable.
Well, I think Stephen King adaptations fail over and over because.
But he needs that cocaine money, so he's still is willing to do it.
I think there's a lot in his product that makes it what it is that you just aren't going to translate very well over to.
Well, and this is why I still want to read a Stephen King book. I just haven't ever figured out what.
Yeah, me too.
When I talk to people who read them, they're like, it's not the story that's compelling. It's how he writes it.
Right, which means how could you possibly adapt that in a film?
So it's not in a fucking... And the one time he directed, we got his own story into a movie was Maximum Overdrive. And the one time he wrote a screenplay, not a book, was Sleepwalkers.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen Maximum Overdrive. I kind of want to because it looks like it's hilariously bad. I've seen Sleepwalkers. It is a dumpster fire. It is not only terrible, it makes zero sense.
I have finally decided if I ever read Stephen King, which one I'll read. I'm going to read Salem's Lot if I read any of them. But
yeah.
That's the one I will read if I ever do.
I don't know. A lot of the ones I think about are novellas, so we're not sure. And sometimes I just think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Great
mm-hmm.
sentence. And some of the others are like Carrie or whatever, but I'm also trying to gauge, like, because not all Stephen Kings are created equal. The dude has had... There's still honing his craft, King. There's height of his popularity and constantly on cocaine, King. There's later years pretending he's not Stephen King, King. There's even later years helping his son write books, King. There's, I don't know, I just keep typing stuff happens, King. And so it's all different. I've thought about The Stand. I mean, for a long time I was going to read Dark Tower series once he finished it, but then he finished it and I was like, holy shit, that's a lot of pages.
Yeah, I thought of that too, but that's a little much. If I like Salem's
and they
Lot,
made a movie
I
of
will.
It and it sucked.
Right. If I like Salem's Lot, maybe I'll read. I am a little interested in the Dark Tower thing. So
I'm
maybe
interested
I will,
in The Stand, and I've actually seen one or two of the miniseries they made of it, and it's intriguing to me, but that's a big-ass book. The Stand is like thousands of pages.
I mean, I can believe that in the actual text that he puts forth for people to read, it looks like there's some interesting world building and that he's good at flowery language or whatever. I can totally believe that. But if it has to be from his pen, you can't adapt it then, right?
The thing is, I want to read a Stephen King book because I want to know what Stephen King readers are talking about.
Yeah, I do too, kind of.
Because
yeah,
my experience with Stephen King, which is entirely screen-based, is, yeah, he comes up with a lot of shit. I mean, not shit. He comes up with a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's some of it's diverse and different than the other stuff. A lot of it's very similar. Mm-hmm. But he's good at coming up with ideas.
And then writing it, apparently, in a way that's fun to read.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But not fun to watch.
The fact that everybody could love it and it could sell bajillions of copies and be remade several times. And it was many, many years after I knew about this book and story and many years after that original miniseries that did so well and was so popular, but did I find out it involves an underage gangbang.
Yeah, yeah.
The fact that that can be a thing and that's not what people were talking about, there must be something to it. Like, how is Stephen King's It known as the creepy clown story and not the underage gangbang story? I don't know.
I don't know either.
None of this can be an episode title, just so we're clear. I feel like that's the vibe, but we can't do that. So, sorry for those of you. And for those of you who didn't know it, spoilers for the middle of It. That's a thing that happens. Apparently, it's written in a way that's... I don't even know how to phrase this. Less creepy, but it's still exactly what I just said. I'm not going to say those words again, but it's a thing, and it's presented as sort of sweet and a bonding experience. But again, they're all like 13 and shit.
Several boys.
But that's not the part that people talk about, at least in our postmodern era, people do. But that's not what they talked about all those years.
Several boys and one girl, too. Let's make sure that context is there.
Yeah.
It's not like three girls and three boys or something like that. It's like,
sorry, you wouldn't know, but the term gangbang kind of covered that.
Granted,
it's
that's just a part of the whole thing that bothers, that takes it to another level of disturbing for me.
Although, if memory serves, when I've heard people talk about it in Outrage, it was her idea also. Like, but whatever.
I've heard that.
Didn't read it. But like, my point is that's there and that's not what people were talking about. So there sure as shit must be something to this writing. Because first of all, I would put down that book at that point in general. But if I read the whole thing, I'd be like, oh my God, you'll never believe it. Don't read this book because guess what happens in the middle? So there's got to be something. The one I also think about is reading The Shining. Because now I've seen The Shining, and I know that the movie is so drastically not the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the miniseries years ago with Steven Weber that King was involved in, and I liked that, but it wasn't great, and most people hated it. So I'm real curious about the book. And also, I am fascinated by the sequel, and Dr. Sleep, which just happened a few years ago. And I don't want to read the sequel until I read the first one, obviously. And also don't want to see the movie until I would have done that. Because there's a movie of Dr. Sleep.
Yeah,
so
I thought the movie was okay.
That's high on my list as well. But I don't know that I'll ever get... I talk about this a lot. I think it is unlikely I'll ever get to that.
Yeah, I'm not sure I will either.
Because I'm like, I don't... It's just to scratch a curious itch.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I'm going to get a lot out of it.
Well, and I've got a lot of other things to read. That are
well,
far
you can't
more...
read fiction, so you're fucked anyway.
Fiction is not high on my list of things. I've got a lot of things to read that are nonfiction, and I might not ever read fiction again. I have no idea. So,
I mean, you will. You just won't know it's fiction, because that's the world we live in. And on that cascade of bummer notes, we should end it. Beth, get a hold of us. Tell us what you want to do about all the shame William has brought upon your family. And then everybody else, for us, this is going to be a trek in between episodes for us. But for you guys, it'll just be a normal deal. So we will talk to you all again in December, I guess. Hope you had a good turkey bit and all that. And that's all I got.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.